Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about intelligibility and imagination. Let's really get into it. Imagining is something where you can relive it, use your sensory things of smell and touch, and without the stimulus in front of you, reactivate what's in there, or from a certain amount of stimulus, fill the entire thing in, fill in the blanks. So the picture is given there, and you can color it in. It's sort of like the coloring in book of society. Whereas intelligible is you can't do that, but yet you can still get the correct answer. There's two aspects of it. Now, I suppose the most important aspect of it is that this is an activity that a rock doesn't do, not necessarily a cat does it to a certain amount. It imagines, it has a sensory playthrough of what the mouse will do, and so it can actually run that simulation through. So you are out there as a mouse and you're doing things, but the cat knows in advance what you might do. It's sort of a basic predictive thing, be able to run your simulations in your head. Intelligibility is yet sort of a more complex thing. This is something that you can't imagine. Now, there's a whole sort of, there's not necessarily a grade of it. There's strictly two separate things. There's things which you can run sensory simulation of, a recreation of, I can imagine, and there's things which are strictly intelligible and cannot be imagined. So on your extreme there's complex numbers. Let's throw into this story money. Now, everyone knows what money is. I can imagine money, but money itself is not a can you, for all of this, can you actually find a dollar? I can find a representation of a dollar, but I actually can't find a dollar. Isn't that amazing? I cannot actually weigh a dollar. It doesn't have weight. It doesn't have speed. It's got a whole lot of things that it doesn't have. And this is, I think, just looking across here. Yeah, this is the whole thing with intelligibility, something which is intelligibility but not imagining. So we can actually acclimatise people so much as a society that we have a sort of a collective attribution of imagination to something which is intelligible. So we can attribute imagined properties to something which is only intelligible. So we can dress up a concept and make it familiar, part of the furniture, but it's not there. I suppose you could even say things like love, a state of operation is intelligible, but love, what is the weight of love? What is the velocity of love? Things which are imaginable are things that you can actually touch and think. Now, you can have things which are imaginable as a consequence of intelligibility, but this is only through mutual consent, either consent of yourself or consent of a society. So there's a mutual hallucination, a mutual process going on here. Now, I'm just going to fill it for you in a little bit at the moment. My son had a big D&D weekend, and on the computer game, got a bit tired, missed the train, got me to drive him up to Katoomba. So we're having another Katoomba to Glenbrook. Podcast. Now, I recently have pulled off podcasting a little bit. One, to improve the quality of what I'm doing. The second thing is that I'm actually working away at the next communication barrier. So the first communication barrier was, let's just put this here, just being able to, mechanics of talking and mechanics of putting things through podcasts. Then I'm going through the mechanics of writing. Now, that, as in with the podcast plus brain damage, you're saying, off, well, it's going to be a long, hard road, and it's sort of like being able to walk up a hill with crutches. Everyone else just goes up the entire thing. You have to look at where your little footholds are and plan it out, and eventually, by doing enough, it becomes a natural thing. Now, again, with writing, what I've found is I've got this technique, but it's very laborious. It's you write it up and then you listen to it over and over again and refine it. And you find that these problems, these big problems. One of the big problems I have is what is essentially the crux of the problem that I'm working on. This obviously sort of compounds with your, if you don't have glib ability to communicate. It's interesting that you can consider communication. If you've got it mastered, you don't have to worry about the fine detail of what you're saying. Isn't that an amazing thing? People who communicate, are good communicators, are not necessarily deep thinkers. That being said, I'm going to stop for the moment and continue soon. Okay, back again as I'm working through this. So this is a podcast while driving, and to be absolutely brutally honest with you, I haven't really got the answer to this imaginable and intelligible difference. This is one of the things that I'm writing, and I have to actually get to the point within a few sentences. This is the fundamental aspect that you could say that education attaches imaginable handles to that which is intelligible. Now, you could say that there's certain things which are not imaginable but intelligible, which have no behavioural characteristics associated with it. And this is an area that you fall down. So you have things which are imaginable, like you can imagine eating a dinner, or you can imagine stubbing your toe. It's things which give you direct sensational, it's usually an activity and stimulus. Your stimulus and sensation is imaginable. Intelligible, at the other end, is you've got, say, the imaginary number, a square root of minus one or two. Now, you can have an associative imagination. You can associate imagination with that which is intelligible. So there are many, but a lot of people can think of two, but they can't manipulate two in terms of that which is intelligible. We sort of add, intelligibility allows manipulation. And in a sense, education is very much zoned in on associating things which one can imagine with that which can be intelligible. Now, it's very important that we... Oh, okay, getting across up here. Whoa. That's merging into traffic up at 80 kilometres an hour. All okay. Check. Okay. That being said, so, at the very heart of education, you've got certain things. You have to hook up and get people to have several phases. Awareness of your imagination. Ability to realize that other people imagination by consent of objects which are you give people the ability to manipulate intelligible objects. So let's put it like money is intelligible, and I can imagine it, but I cannot imagine a dollar, because a dollar doesn't exist. I can think of the number 7. I can imagine 7 objects. I can imagine its use, but I can't actually imagine 7. Isn't that amazing? And the Greeks really wrestled with this. The first people coming up, this is really the most question number one. Parmenides, when this is a Greek philosopher before Pythagoras, I believe, around the time of Pythagoras, said, look, I've been taken up to the sun god, and the sun god said, look, here's knowledge, but you cannot imagine it. And this is the most profound thing. You have to understand that you can't imagine it. So this is one of the very things, is that to talk about intelligibility and imagination, you can only just talk about the different scenarios, and that's the limit to how communication, we can communicate sensations, and we can communicate structures of sensations. So if you say a law, right, a law doesn't exist. It is purely intelligible, but we make it imaginable by actually saying, if I say it's a programmed behavior, so it's saying like money is a programmed behavior and a law is a programmed behavior. So if I break a speed limit, now reduced to 40 kilometers an hour going down here past the school zone, I can imagine the consequence of intelligibility, right? Essentially, say if you had people who really didn't understand about money, they'd stuff it up. So you'd tell people that money is purely coins, right? And you could get them to you could say, look, say in Australia you've got a $1 coin and a $2 coin. So you just say, look, here's a $1, here's a $2, and teach them money purely in terms of coins. And the great thing about it is that you could say a coin weighs 5 grams, and so 10 coins weighs 50 grams, and so its weight is worth, you know, and to be sure, this is what people said, look, money is associated with gold. It's taken it takes the human race a long time to actually do this journey away from imagination, to realize that imagination is a tool to manipulate intelligible objects, and that over time we refine our tools. And so this is this is a purely natural thing. Throughout history we have been working more with this age, we have many more objects around us which are of intelligible origin. So if I have something intelligible, and I want to make something intelligible access to people who don't actually understand the depth of it, I want them to functionally operate. They can operate on handles. This is a visible, an imaginable handle to an intelligible object. So I can get them to manipulate the imaginable. It's sort of like You need imaginability for two sort of reasons. One, for social interaction. So, I have a dollar, you have a dollar. We've got to imagine the same thing to transfer that value. So that's one aspect of it. And also, that object that I can imagine is there. So I, if I pass you, what happened to me, $20, and they pass me back change, that is just plastic. And I say, look, I imagine this piece of plastic is $20, and they pass me back, well, they're certainly notes of polymer, plastic. Unlike you in the United States, have got paper. In fact, it's so crazy. You go back to the United States, powerful superpower, but so much of the United States is behind what we do in terms of we have a paperless economy. There's certain aspects of we don't have guns. Yeah, like, say, for instance, guns would be an imaginable thing, is that a gun and liberty, how does that operate? People actually, you know, they're, I don't know, it's a hard thing. It's like war, for instance. I've got a particular principle, right, which is intelligible, and I can't argue it, but I can. You can imagine blowing things up. So, if I want to establish a principle, I can just put more high explosives behind my principle and yell at stuff. Look, another idea is for property. I own something. Well, you can't. I suppose you could brand it and stuff like that, but I can't pick up a rock and determine its ownership. I can't do any amount of tests on a rock to determine its ownership. This is without sort of getting properties and then having a lookup table. Because of mutual consent, if I pick up the wrong person's rock, I get shouted at. I get behavioural triggers. I can imagine those behavioural triggers. So you've got these imagination tags actually attached to something which is purely intelligible. Now, as it happens, we know it's a known phenomenon that we take time to unplug, to reverse the understanding of things. So why do you make something? What is the advantage of peeling back the layers of our scaffolding, our imagination scaffolding, and saying, look, it's time to actually peel them back? So, particularly in Australia, a lot of people don't carry cash, they only carry plastic. And a lot of children nowadays, they've got this thing that they have a their checkout thing, and no coins in it. They've just got little plastic credit cards on their little toys, they go through the activity. They know, people know from behaviour, is that I now associate things. Now, for instance, identity theft. Increasingly our world is hit by this intelligibility and the management and by consent. So you exist as a personality by the consent of your society. Well, and there's a certain amount of sense that I would say this is actually a critical, this is not a thing to dismiss. People are so caught up with imagination and intelligibility that they come to a point where they want to commit suicide. They want to actually stop themselves as a solution to their intelligibility. This is, I wish I could quite describe it. At the end of the day, there's actually really no reason for living, and there's also no reason for dying, in that you're just there breathing, and you're with a society which has a certain mix and balance of intelligibility and imagination, and these people actually they put these strictures on. This is in order to make you behave in a particular way. They say that if you go against what is imagined, we'll have these. If you go against our interpretation of imagined, you put under threat this intelligibility. What is a good and a bad person? A good and a bad person is a history behind things. Something which has happened in the past is no longer. You can only reimagine it. So imagination also has the property of time. Something which is intelligible is timeless. That is, a dollar doesn't have a weight. It doesn't have an existence. It doesn't have a time. The actual component has no property of time. Now, thrown into this, you've got these quasi-intelligible objects. That is, there's aspects which you can imagine, and there's aspects that you can impute. And this is because when we shrink things down, when we go down to physics and science, we have this class of things which are purely intelligible, which is numbers. And then we have things which is on the cusp between imagination, things which are imaginable, these are concrete objects, and things which are imaginable. And the issue here is that we have this whole class of objects which sit on the boundary between intelligible and imaginable. So this is things which I can fully understand, but not imagine. So an electron, a fundamental particle, sits on the very cusp between it. So it has some properties which can be imagined, and some properties which are only intelligible. So it has the property of angular momentum, but it does not have the property of rotation. It has the property of existence, but it does not have the property of surface. So you can imagine that someone who's not across this is not going to be able to explain it properly. And this is the thing of why you need an expert in a box, is that any time you see the object, it's sort of like intersections. You're seeing a lot of deaths at intersections, and where you're going to put the traffic lights. You put the traffic lights at the intersection. So the idea that I have is that you put the expertise at the object. And these objects that we have, electrons and stuff like that, are really complex things because they exist. Some of the existence properties are clearly I can imagine that. And some of the properties are straddled. I can't imagine it. So An electron is halfway between being real and a number. And you can say, oh, no, that's unimportant. But if you say it's unimportant, you wind up misteaching it. You say, oh, well, it's clearly in the visible object because you're unaware of this distinction. So I think people can pick up on the distinction of something which is imaginable and something which is intelligible. Some people will know nothing which is not intelligible because they're not they're not into dealing with mathematics. They're not into dealing with things which are intelligible. And so if you say, look, money doesn't exist, it's purely intelligible, however, we have an associated behavioural things associated with it, which you can imagine. So I can imagine being rich. So if I have $1 million, I can't eat the $1 million. It doesn't feel like anything. However, I can have a very strong association with the behavioural characteristics that, by consent of society, it goes forward. So these people can often be suckered in. Part of the trick of education is that at some stage we're going to have a chat. We're going to have a talk. You know, it's like when this relationship isn't going well, we need to talk. We need to have a family conference about what's going on for us to reflect and have a to address some issues. Now, of course, as a society or in a relationship, if you talk, if you're taking out a girl, for instance, and on the first date you want to start talking about settling down, having children, how you're going to have a divorce, how you're going to pay the bills and stuff like that, it's what a big turnoff. People need a gentle introduction. It's got to be very natural, and then to have the understanding, the prenuptials in your head. Now, often women have this sorted out way, way ahead of men. But similarly here, I want to teach science, and at core of science is this boundary of, say, particularly quantum mechanics, is this boundary where there are objects. It's a mashup of things which are, just trying to follow this right here. Things which are, I'm just going through a piece of the Blue Mountains where, thank mercifully, they've resurfaced this road. Now, it is rather interesting because they've been rebuilding this road for a quarter of a century. They've been working on this road through the Blue Mountains, little bit by little bit. And so some parts of it are 25 years old. And surprisingly, the tarmac gets resurfaced. Or getting back to it. So, similar to your first date, in education, you don't really want to actually say to the kids, well, what I'm teaching you, some of it you cannot understand, some of it you can understand, and it's you've got to be really careful with this. It's sort of like when you go out with someone, say you're a girl, something like that, and at the end of the evening, you make sure that you split the bill, everything gets paid for, because you don't want this idea that when I am paying for food which I do not eat, I'm actually paying for ownership of the person. Now, unless you've actually been through it, unless you've been trained through it, you don't know what the implication of. If you just say, oh, I don't have to pay for that, you sort of know the implications of what you're what you're saying, and that if you don't have the higher level of knowledge, you do not have the understanding that of what you are saying, what you're doing. So often when people say encounter the atom, they go in there saying, I don't have to understand. Now this is really interesting because this is essentially, well, it's not my mum, but my mother-in-law is essentially, I will not take responsibility for my known ignorance. Prove that I am ignorant. My ignorance, I don't feel. I am unaware of my ignorance. You know, what can you say? This is full innocence. If you shut down and say, look, it's off the table, I'm not discussing the fact that I don't understand it, you know, what do you do? And this is very much like the teaching profession. It's off the table. They will not discuss the fact that they do not understand quantum physics. They're not going to discuss that. It's off the table. Well, that's one. That's sorted it. That's done. But it's really a tour de force, because all they've done is they've proved it by application of behavioural. They've solved the argument with behaviour, in terms of all they recognise is not the shadow of the intelligible object. The shadow of intelligible is the behaviour. And they've mistook, to make a mistake from manipulating behaviour and manipulating the actual object. So I can manipulate my understanding of an atom by looking at purely the behavioural aspects of my explanation. So the behavioural aspects of my explanation is, you know, clap, 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 yes, you're right, put a little gold star on it. They're putting a little gold star on a incorrect idea, which is has been done for countless generations. Going through, I'm just trying to work out where I am in the Blue Mountains. It's going up here, Great Western Highway. Oh, yes, I'm in Falcon Bridge, because I'm coming down. So this is certain aspects of it. Now, what it's sort of a intellectual complacency. Now, there's a certain amount of times in that when you are, it's sort of like, I suppose the difference between a wild tiger, which you cannot tame, and the idea of someone who is intellectually dead as someone who is tamed, someone who is not worrying about atoms and mathematics, they're ideal, because they can go out, shop, cook dinner, just hang around while the day's off in the garden, not thinking, because they're tamed. And so in a certain sense, a tamed cat is very relaxed, because it's there, it's palatable, it doesn't do much, it just feels what's hungry, it gets fed. There is not much activity going up in a tamed animal's mind. It's a whole lot of range of activities, but it's not thinking about escape. And really the objective, a secret objective of education, is to tame the mind. You want to produce someone who is highly employable, highly loyal, highly responsive, highly tuned, ability to work with other people, all these great things. And one of the things is you don't want them to have a remorseless inquiring mind. You do not want them going through the books, because if they do go through the books, they'll realize that ultimately this is not a sustainable business. And I think there's some realization that our civilization overall is not sustainable. We obviously cannot go through. So we've got so much pocket money so much pocket money to us. There's so many. Someone's got so many sweets, and the scenario that we don't talk about is the fact that we're in a lifeboat in the middle of an ocean, the ocean of space. And people here, they're used to their nursery room imagination. We are kitted up for imagination, but at the end of the day, the objective of education is not to open up the mind, it is to close it down and to tame the person. So this is why we have this balls up of people confusing imagination handles on intelligibility, such that the one thing we do is that we want to smash the hand of the child who is potentially reaching for the intelligibility. So this is a child at one stage thinks they might be able to understand quantum mechanics, they think they may be able to understand maths, and what we do is we get a hammer of our imagination, our power. We use power is obviously stupid. How can someone dress up in a suit, come in and wreck someone else's life? The only way is by consent. And they use that power, you can imagine that power as a hammer, and that child is reaching for the electron, reaching for quantum mechanics, reaching through that for that subtlety to understand that not everything, not all that glitters is gold, I don't know if it's like that, they get the hammer and smash that hand. They say, this sheer anger by saying, look, things are clearly imaginable. The reason I wanted it imaginable is so that I can tame you. I can break your research spirit, your understanding spirit. I can crush you. And then they're trying to do it for me, but they are successfully, we can't do that for you. You cannot play. But that is not stopping them. And day after day, thousands of students are learning the incorrect thing, and the reason that they're learning it is purely such that they are reproducing clones of, they're cloning ignorance. The objective of the day is to clone their own ignorance. And this is in order to complete the programming or the cloning of ignorance. They say certain things that there is no boundary between intelligible and imaginable. It's purely imaginable, and it's purely imaginable and unintelligible, rather than it's intelligible and imaginable. It's hard to go here. The reason that they do it, I'm pretty sure, is such. Look, I definitely feel I do see it. It's actually crush the human soul. The idea is that a cow will go up to a fence, not be able to go across the fence, and its mind will be purely, oh, I can't cross this fence. This is my field. Oh dear, this is a dirty, dirty big udder. Oh, I'm really interesting. Oh, I'm producing so much milk. Oh, I'm painful. Oh, ding, ding, ding. Let's get milk. The idea of a cow, our idea of a cow is something which has been genetically modified, cultured, and brought up. Be very gentle and just walk around the place and provide us with milk. And the idea of a student is to be very gentle, very compliant, not at all question what's been fed to it, and feel, oh, I don't understand all this. I guess what I'll do is I'll become an accountant. I don't understand science. I can use a smartphone. It's amazing what this happens here. Oh, look, I think I'll just pay my service provider a huge fraction of my income. I know. I think I'll just sit around and I just really hope that if I vote for someone, they're not going to trick me and tell me lies and send me off to... Oh, they've sent me off to war. Oh dear. All my friends have died. Oh, what am I going to do? The sort of inability to break the mold, and I've sort of can see this so much, like I'm involved in these groups, and the ability to think outside their zone is just stunning. But of course, what you don't do is you don't, if you're a cow or something like that, start building an anti-tank weapon. Obviously, that's not to do. That's not a very sensible thing to do, like a PAC-88 anti-tank weapon to blow the stuffing out of the milking dairy. Obviously, people don't want to do that. That milking dairy is extremely important. I know that just probably sounds completely mad, but I do have the idea that if you are a farmer and you're watching your flock, and you're interested in control of it, you're going to watch for things coming out. Now, the sort of art of intelligibility is really crazy thing, and the bottom line is that imagination is that you can actually see. You sit back and enjoy your imagination. You're unaware of the production processes, the cinematographic processes which produce it. And sometimes these things happen in the background and really surprise you. What you imagine is quite surprising. Yeah, I can paint a painting, get a canvas, and fill that canvas in a way which you see for the first time, and you're like, this is fantastic. Who painted me? I did. Things which are intelligible are similar to that in terms of the actual working out of what is going on is intelligibility. Ignorance is not, I can imagine the consequence of ignorance. It is something which can be intelligible. And the intellect can allow you to manipulate numbers, see equations, go through things, and actually work things out. And so, in a certain sense, this is what I'm trying to do, is a mathematical, intellectual, intelligibility solution to it. This is if the boundaries that we're placing around people to stop them understanding that next level is the boundaries of imagination, or what is imagination, there is surely a intellectual, intelligible solution to it. So this is full circle. What I was going to say is there's a strategy associated with intelligibility. So there are certain things, imagination, you've got to really manage the feedback. This is sensation behavior, that's very much imaginability. Intellectualize, or the intelligible aspect, is something completely different. This is the conduct of a long-range strategy. So if you can imagine, imagination is a very short-term, and things which are intelligible, it's very long-term. It's very go across. I'm just going to mention the fact that let's talk about the United States of America. Let's talk about Coca-Cola. Can you actually weigh the United States of America? You can actually weigh the size of land of people who will actually fight and put a gun with you if you try to, you know. You can build a wall around it, you can do it, but you actually can't weigh the concept of America. I'm just going to whip under here. Whoa. Hope you don't mind there. Okay. Coming back home. Oh, that was a long thing. So look, I really hope I can get to it. For me, talking to you is opened up the fact of it's essentially the actual core reason of education given is obviously not to actually inform people how the world actually works, because how it effectively works is a different thing from how it actually works. How it effectively works is by mutual consent. There's knowledge of mutual consent. But that's all it is that you have to teach people what happens to you. If you write this, you learn that if you write it that way, you get it wrong. That's all that you're doing. And then what's the object? The object is to tame people, is to break their ability. This is a dog, you know, shits on the carpet. What you do is that you train it. You train it and actually stick its nose in its poo, and eventually it will not do it. And then it will not. It's not pooing on its carpet, on your carpet, due to any great understanding of the superiority of the human race. It's doing that by working out that if I do this, it's going to hurt. So a majority of people learn science through the simple thing that if they give the answer that the teacher hasn't been trained in doing, even though the answer is completely insanely wrong, they know that they can get it right by actually they know this is right because it feels right. It feels as though I'm not going to do it. Even though, at the end of the day, they say, hang on, this actually means that this is incorrect, what you're saying. Okay, now I've got to finish it up. I hope this has made some sort of sense. So I've just tried to dip in, to cut the very first surface layers of this massive problem which I'm going across. And it seems interesting in that if you're blasted into orbit and you're looking at the entire Earth, you're from a distance, you see things large scale. In this case, I've seen this problem large scale, and in order to take this very tiny step, I've had to have this global view as to what is happening in education. I just really wish I'll come across it. And this is probably listening to this podcast, so you're listening to a photo frame of the very first part of a shot, a tennis shot. So if you're imagining watching the Australian Open, you're watching the very first ball toss and the person and the camera freezing forward to the rackets just about to hit the ball. The ball here to serve this across, serve for the match, for match point. Just trying to do it. So this is perhaps interesting. You want to watch this podcast or listen to this podcast to try and see someone really wrestling. And what's at stake? Well, it's ignorance versus a quantum physicist trying to save the human race. Who will win? I don't know. So this is the first thing. They're not really serving and volleying. They've packed up and they've walked off the court. So let's see what's going on. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.